Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
All right, let's get to some Chiefs here for the next half hour. 1 hour from now, though, our Royals insider, Josh Fernier, going to join us. Royals and Cubs back at Kauffman Stadium tonight. We'll get his perspective. 3 starts in for Brady Singer. Offensive struggles continue. We'll talk to Vern at 12:30. But Andy Reid was on one-on-one this morning here on 610 with Fesco in the morning. Plenty to discuss with him. In particular, I think what's interesting is anytime you get comparisons, and whether it's in terms of direct ability,
they know what they're doing.
Or what, you know, we know the comparison for Clyde right around draft time was Brian Westbrook. We heard that immediately. Remember, and Brian Westbrook was like, wait a second. He was like, wait a second. Because remember, there was the comment about his, he might already be better than what Brian Westbrook was coming out of college and things like that. And Westbrook had those comments in Philly and everything. But there was another comparison that was given this morning from Andy Reid, in particular about Clyde, but his maturity. And who do you think he compared it to? This one might surprise you. And, well, it hits very close to Arrowhead and on the coaching staff.
He reminds me of Eric Bieniemy when Eric was young. And I had him in Philadelphia towards the end of his career there. But I had competed against him. We all did. We all saw that from Missouri and Kansas when he played at Colorado. But he's wired that same way, where he's mature for his age. He's smart. He's tough. And he shows that. I mean, the veteran players see it, and then he's got skills. So those guys normally, barring injury, they normally work out for you. Okay. Now he's lucky. He's got other guys that can also play in that room and create competition, and he'll have to stay on top of his game. That's a demanding position, in the best league there is in the world. So, he'll have to adjust to that, but he sure is wired right to do that. And then we'll just see, he's got to go through this whole process, which is new for him. And we throw a lot at that position. And so he'll have to digest all of that and be able to recall it in a second and get himself out there and then play.
I think that's also that comment there from Reid, and then knowing what Clyde said 10, 14 days ago about the playbook being easy, about his willingness to be a pass protector, that makes even more sense now after hearing the way Andy Reid talks just about his maturity and just his knowledge of the game and like where he's at and how they expect him to be able to handle this situation.
And I guess that's the good news, is that Andy has gone out of his way to praise Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He hasn't been constantly going out of his way to praise Willie Gay. He didn't constantly go out of his way to praise Breland Speaks. Look at whoever they've taken in the last first couple of rounds over the last few years. The last guy that they gushed over Mahomes from day one. So that's different. And even this talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire is nowhere close to that. But, if you're just looking for further evidence that he's going to use Clyde Edwards-Helaire right away, this is it. And I think that's the best possible news for Kansas City, because I think the best version of their offense is him good and ready to go. But, like, maturity is a hard thing, because you can be a mature player and still not know what you're doing. A willingness to learn, a willingness to fix the mistakes you make, that'll help him. But with that early part of the schedule, how much are they going to let you live and die by mistakes you make on the field, given the importance of some of those really early season games for the Chiefs this year?
He is the only reason why I slightly am upset that there's not at least one preseason game. He's it. Like,
because you want to just get a taste.
There's nobody else I want to see. We know what Mahomes is. He's going to be fun every single game to watch. But to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire for the first time in a preseason game, and you want to talk about where the hype is for him right now. If we were able to see one preseason game and where he looked good in that game, the odds already changed for his rookie of the year.
Sure.
Stuff. They would change again, because I think he would impress in a preseason game. And then we think about the excitement already we would have. So it's a true unknown in terms of how they're going to utilize him touch wise week one against the Texans. It makes that game even more exciting. It's already the home opener. It's going to be the first football game we've had in months and months. And even if it's going to look different and everything like that, but you add in now Clyde to the mix and wondering truly for the first, we're not going to know. There's barely anybody that's going to be even allowed at a practice, and it's just practice anyway for Clyde. So it's going to be maybe even for Andy Reid and the coaching staff to see him for the first time in real live action against somebody other than his own team. And right now, they're still, what, the 14th? They haven't even had it against his own team. Right now, they're just doing, you know, padded T-shirts kind of thing that Andy was talking about. In fact, here's what Andy Reid had to say about getting work, and specifically the rookies getting work on the field. This was this morning on Fesco.
They have a thing where they can wear padded shirts, which is new. That's a new thing with the new CBA.
Okay.
So, but they can have their helmets on with the padded shirts, and then the next step would be shells, and then pads, you know. And so, the rookies were able to do the padded shirt part and got them their work in for just about an hour and short, sweet. But we don't have a lot of numbers, so they were moving around pretty quick, and then they can filter back in with the veterans and do a little bit of lifting for them. The veterans go for a couple hours of lifting, and then the rookies will get a quick jump on that, and then they can do all the meetings with the veterans also. So it's a good setup for them. It's a nice little elementary step for them before they merge here with the veteran players on the field with helmets on.
Yeah, Pat, who was that? Something the players requested then, the padded shirt deal.
Apparently, it was a part of the new collectively bargained agreement. To me, it just feels like it's like they're just adding layers before you put on real pads.
Just to delay.
Like, all right, we're in shorts and T-shirts. Now we're in padded shirts. Then will they be in what? What's shells, right?
Yep.
And then what they? I've watched a lot of training camp practice in my life. Shells, then eventually full padded practice. That to me is the idea. It's just like it's a mild protection in between those stages where, fine, we'll let you like make a little physical contact, but we're not trying to out here get tackled. If Clyde Edwards-Helaire though is making any kind of an impact as far as like what Andy thinks of him in this kind of environment, that means Helaire's taking it really seriously. That's the good news. He's taking his offseason really seriously. And while that's an easy thing to be like, well, yeah, don't they all? No. So it turns out there are a lot of NFL players in a regular offseason who do not take it seriously enough, do not show up prepared, and do not take team meetings as serious as you would like. That doesn't mean sometimes they don't overcome, right? They said Antonio Brown used to be trouble sometimes in team meetings or would show up late occasionally. Turns out he was still a phenomenal player on the field when he played. But, you know, like as a young player in particular, trying to get into Andy Reid's offense immediately, you better take stuff real serious if you want any chance of getting on the field, which I think he has.
So it all really ramps up coming up on the 14th here of August. And we'll see as time goes on, specifically just how that's all going to look. It'll be a lot trickier this year. Training camp different for everybody. And that includes the media, just in terms of how much you're actually going to be able to see. A lot of it's going to be hopefully stuff pushed out video-wise even from the Chiefs. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire continuing to feel better and better about the situation involving him and how much confidence the Chiefs have as well. So Bill Barnwell, we've had him on the show before, and he always has interesting pieces that he puts out. And the latest was about future Hall of Famers, and he tried to predict them for every single team in the National Football League. And he separated it into different categories, like who he says are locks, likely in the running, work to do. And then there's guys just left off the list, of course, entirely. Four Chiefs were in at least one of the categories. Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, and Tyrann Mathieu, for example. This is going to stun you, but the lock at 100% he put was Patrick Mahomes. Likely, 70-99% chance it was Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelsey. And then work to do, and the 10% chance to 39% chance was Tyrann Mathieu. And I think that makes plenty of sense, man. Tyron does have the most work to do out of the Chiefs bunch if you're talking about Hall of Fame. He's getting there, but he's got to win another ring or two and continue. And he's not 30 years yet, so 30 years old yet. So he's got some room left for sure. He's got to win another ring or two, and I think play the way he did last year for two or three of those years for you to be really realistically thinking Hall. Because Hall of Fame for Tyrann Mathieu, because I haven't even thought about Hall of Fame for him. I think he needs a couple more rings, and he has to play at this level for another two or three years for that to become a legitimate conversation. So I agree where they have him placed. He's in position to where he could get there, but he's got a lot. He does have a lot of work to do still. Hall of Fame is you know, prestigious for a reason. It's not easy to get. There's a lot of great players that are not Hall of Famers.
Correct. And this is where he's 1,000% right on Mahomes. He's a lock. I think I'd put Kelce in the lock category until I read his article and he correctly points out that only 9 tight ends in NFL history are even in the Hall of Fame. I was like, God, is that it? And the Chiefs are what, going to have 2 of them?
Well, the tight end position changed with Gonzalez. 10? I think we'll see more over the next 40 years.
Absolutely, we will. Because Gronkowski is an eventual Hall of Famer, and Travis Kelce is an eventual Hall of Famer. But it's still not a lot. I'll remind you that tight ends, they're a lot like running backs sometimes, where their shelf life in this league doesn't last very long. Look at Jimmy Graham, for instance. Remember when Jimmy Graham would just run this league as a receiving tight end? He was one of the best tight ends in the NFL for what? I mean, from a fantasy perspective, sort of what, 2-3 years? You play him like a wide receiver, you had him getting 1,500 yards.
I think it was 3 seasons.
Yeah, and then what? Now he's a shell? Like, you got to do it. Now, Travis Kelce already has the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons by a tight end ever at 4. Presumably going to get 5 this year, barring injury. Like, all you got to do as a tight end to put together 8 dominant years, and Kelce's already halfway there.
Well, that's why he's in the likely 79.
To me, I would put 70, him in lock, to, but sure, 79, that's a difference.
I don't know if you could say lock yet, but knowing that he's going to get 1 or 2 more years at minimum with Patrick Mahomes is going to eventually put him in the lock category. Right now, putting him in likely, I think that's a fair assessment. Same with Tyreek Hill. The assumption is these guys are going to be way too high for him, in my opinion. These guys are going. You think it's too high for Tyreek right now?
I think he's in a 70.
So you think there's less than a 70% chance that Tyreek gets in? Again, he's not saying like today would he get in over
Absolutely.
His career.
Do you know how hard it is to get in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah,
as
but you're thinking about
wide receiver
Tyreek Hill though.
Calvin Johnson might have to wait to get in the Hall of Fame.
Tyreek Hill for the majority of his career is going to play in his prime. By the way, with prime Patrick Mahomes, that's what you're banking on. At least I'm banking on there.
I'm not denying that.
He's going to get the rings.
But he has 4,000 yards is all.
But we're talking about if
he
you think Mahomes
1,000 yard season. I mean, what are we talking?
Rings.
We're saying he's
talking about rings as well.
70 to 90% 2,000 yard.
He might end up with 3+ rings, just like Mahomes, and have numbers to go with it. How many wide receivers put up numbers and also had 3 rings to go with it? Not many.
Yeah, but I mean, Tyreek Hill's only under contract through, I think, 2 more years. Like, there's no guarantee that he's going to play his entire career with Patrick Mahomes.
So 2 more rings, okay.
But that's also why it's much more difficult for wide receivers, because wide receivers generally don't stay with the same team forever. They bounce around the league. But, like, Randy Moss is one of the greatest wide receivers I've ever seen. He played for multiple teams, but he was great everywhere he went, basically, except for Oakland. That 1 year was just a disaster. But I think Tyreek Hill's a really, really talented player, but it's really difficult to make the Hall of Fame as a wide receiver. Like, he's nowhere near... Yet, even with the Super Bowl ring, the guys of this era who should be Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I mean, like, A.J. Green has 2 years put together where he's got 1,200 yards and then 1,500 yards and 19 touchdowns
and no
over 2 years.
And no rings. And he's never probably going to get one.
Probably not at this rate. Not unless he gets the hell
joins
out
the
of
Chiefs.
It.
Rings matter, but when we're talking about skill position players, rings don't come into play as much as longevity do. Like, Eli is not a Hall of Famer in my mind, but he's going to make the Hall of Fame because he has the rings. I don't think you can say the same thing for wide receivers.
No, like Adrian Peterson doesn't have a ring, and he is going to be in the Hall of Fame so fast.
But there's different ways of getting in. You're right.
No,
some people have the great stats and no rings. Some people have 3 rings and above average and maybe even pretty great stats, not Hall of Fame worthy stats. But you're like, well, he's on
a 15-year career in 3 rings.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
I think there's a combination. Is he there yet? Of course not. No.
No, that's why I think I'm not saying he wouldn't be on the list. I would just put him in the running category.
Okay. So you think he's in the
far too young? But like, there's no mention. Like, he's just as in the running as Chris Jones. Like a Tyreek Hill. This is now last year.
See, I disagree. I think it's tougher on the defensive end.
Okay. Is Tyreek Hill the number one wide receiver in the NFL?
He's top 5.
Okay. What's
Chris Jones
is
top 2 or 3.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, why wouldn't Chris Jones?
Top 5, top 3.
Interior defensive lineman is what hurts him. Not the fact that he's dominant in his position. Frank Clark, I mean, I'm getting told he's a top 10 defensive end in football.
Yeah,
now you got to be a top 3 defensive end in football to do that.
Yeah.
And then what about Mitchell Schwartz?
Yeah, here's the thing with Mitchell Schwartz. Unfortunately for him,
can't get in the Pro Bowl, probably not get in the Hall of Fame.
I think we've all expressed how we feel about Mitchell Schwartz and his performance and how undervalued he is. But if he can't get on NFL top 100s, he can't get the Pro Bowls, he clearly doesn't have respect from his peers then. across the league. He doesn't have respect nationally from writers when they do all their lists. And by the way, again, writers ultimately vote on the Pro Bowl.
Didn't get in the top 100, did he?
On the Hall of Fame, excuse me. So, like, no. I would be foolish to tell you that he's going to the Hall of Fame, Cody. I'd be an absolute fool to do that because he's not getting on anything else. It's wrong. But no, I would say there's 0% chance of that happening. I mean, it's just not. It's tough enough. You're talking about positions being tough to get in.
I don't want to say zero. Can't he just be in that, work to do? That 10%er? Can he be a 10%er?
It's just, to be an offensive lineman and make the Hall of Fame, you have to be the best left tackle in football for
Waters got in at guard.
Like, Will Shields was the best guard in football forever and made, like, 50 Pro Bowls back when they mattered.
Made all pros
all decades.
It
still took him, like, 3 times to get in.
I mean, I think I would at least put them in the
It stinks for him. It's just, man, when you can't even get on any of these, why would I, the Hall of Fame's the peak, and he can't, his peers aren't even thinking he's a top 100 player.
There's no one else we consider in this list, right?
No.
Not unless you just want to, like, take a shot in the dark and you're convinced Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the dude.
But he's a running back.
No, it's so hard to get into a running back anyway because it's just hard to be good that long. Hey, at least it's, you know, it's better than being on the, not having anyone on the list at all. The Dolphins had no one on the list. The Patriots only had in the running guys and Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton.
In the division, did you see in the division who has them? So the Broncos, their lock is Von Miller. Okay, no doubt. Work to do, Melvin Gordon and Jarrell Casey.
Melvin Gordon?
Have you ever thought Melvin Gordon being good enough to be a Hall of Famer? He shouldn't be on the list. He's hurt too much.
No, he's got like 1,000-yard season.
Jarrell Casey is the real Chris Jones argument in this. Yeah. If Jarrell Casey can be on that list, why the hell can't Chris Jones?
That's a fair point. You would say longevity at that. Maybe Casey gets a little bit of that.
Sure, you've now watched him do it probably long enough to actually do it.
But no, like, if Jarrell Casey or Melvin Gordon end up in the Hall of Fame, then something went wrong.
The Raiders' only guy is Witten. Jason Witten.
And he's not even really, he's not theirs.
Like, that's
not
a young team. Doing it for all the teams, you got to just throw some names out there.
Yeah, they didn't even try with the Dolphins. They're like, yeah, none of these dudes.
Shockingly, Tampa Bay has one lock, and that's Tom Brady. Yeah. Duh. Gronk, 70-99. They didn't even put Gronk as a lock, by the way, which makes no sense.
And the Chargers had a few in the running, so 40-69% likely had Joey Bosa and Derwin James. And work to do, he had Keenan Allen, Trey Turner, Melvin Ingram, and Chris Harris Jr. But that's the thing. If Melvin Ingram can be in the work to do category, couldn't Frank Clark? Like, aren't they both like top 10 pass rushers, but not top 3 pass rushers?
I mean, they're both closer to Tom Bahali than they are to Derek Thomas or something like that.
Which I agree. I think both those guys are like that. Career pass rushers who put up good stats. The reason why Frank Clark has a better chance than Melvin Ingram is because the same reason you just said. Clark's got a chance to stack up 3 rings and put together 100 career sacks. Yeah, I mean, that's a massive advantage.
No doubt. If you're going to weigh someone that has very similar stats, of course, then you're going to say, that guy had 3 rings, that guy had none, or that guy had one.
Someone's going to get dinged, though, eventually. They're going to be like, I mean, yeah, he's got 3 rings, but I played with Mahomes. You know, what's he supposed to do? Like, that's all, because people talk about that with Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson should absolutely 1,000% be a Hall of Famer. But, you know, Calvin Johnson, they're going to be like, I mean, look what he put up, and he had, like, Dan Orlovsky throwing to him. You know, whoever. Just dudes, man. Just guys running out of the back of the end zone and then attempting passes thrown to him. That was his game for a while. I like Orlovsky. He's a really good commentator. He makes fun of that moment as well.
It would have been interesting if he would have been able to get, and we know that it looks like, and Lewis Riddick and Brian Greasy, he's part of their group, but I know Dan Orlovsky, based on some of his tweets, he was a little upset that he wasn't part of that. No, I was thinking about the Lions. Of course, they've had some Hall of Famers as well, but like two of them, we're talking about, you know, Barry Sanders and then Calvin Johnson. Both of them are going to be guys that had short NFL careers, and two of your Hall of Famers are guys that only played.
Yeah, but they were both clearly the best players at their position at that time for almost the entire time they were in the league. It's the same reason Antonio Brown should eventually make the Hall of Fame. He is crazy, kind of. Like, he clearly has some mental problems and is running the end of his career right into the ground. But if you go back through Antonio Brown's stretch, he had a stretch of games incredible, where he just went for like 1,510 touchdowns, like 6 consecutive years. That's incredible.
Remember, T.O., though, he had a lot of the riders weren't voting him in because of, and he didn't have, like, true serious, I would say, off-the-field stuff like Antonio Brown has had.
But stupid, too.
But that was, no, remember, that's why
T.O.
like
him as a person. It's stupid.
It was, and that's why, remember, T.O. did not give his speech at Canton. He did it at, like, a high school or
and
college.
And also, T.O. never had a five-year dominant stretch like I saw out of Antonio Brown. So that even tells you another thing.
Last minute.
UFC head Dana White says Fight Island is definitely happening again this year. Says it's so popular with fighters, Abu Dhabi will soon be the fight capital of the world. He told TMZ that he's already working on the process of booking flights and fights for UFC's return to the island in September and October.
Hey, there is...
Why didn't they fight outside?
So that was disappointing. The marketing for that, they had the ring set up outside on the beach, and it was gorgeous. Like, this is awesome. Well, they just had it inside an arena, and that was it. There's plenty of money, as we know, in Abu Dhabi. That's why they're going. Let's be real. That's, fighters love it. Dana White loves it because
it's
there's
the
a lot of
the
cash.
The WWE yes. goes to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, there is plenty of oil money and cash going on there.
It's not a different experience for anyone except for the fighters.
Yeah, that's why they got to put it outside.
Yeah,
like, at least
they're
let
not,
me
that's, they're not gonna
see
do
some
that.
Wind blow in the trees or
no,
something.
That,
like,
was the biggest disappointment with it. Is it was inside
other
an
than
arena.
That, it's just like I'm watching a fight, but they're there. Like, correct. I don't care where a boxing match takes place. If it's a big boxing match, I'll watch it. But it's not like, so, yeah, oh, that one's in Tennessee. Like, I don't
well,
care.
Okay, so I agree with
the
you.
The two biggest name fighters? Cool. Sounds
yeah,
good.
I agree with
experience
you.
Experience doesn't change for me. Only changes for the people who are there.
It, right now, it does. What you said about boxing, I would disagree with in normal times. Like, if it's a fight in Vegas or at MSG, has a different feel on TV even than a fight that's in Jacksonville, Florida. It does. Trust me, with crowd, it absolutely does, even on
TV.
I
haven't watched a lot of fights from Jacksonville, Florida, but sure.
But right now, you're right. Right now, they could have it at you know, Hy-Vee Arena, Cody, and have UFC set up, and it wouldn't matter for you on the TV product at home.
Sure.
It wouldn't mean a thing at all, but I'm trying to get you to watch a little more at UFC. I haven't watched the last month. Probably been about a month.
If you're not going
to
watch, why am I?
Yeah, well, I watched the first couple of Fight Islands, but now there's other sports for me to watch. Now I got baseball back in the mix. I was watching the MLS. We got the NBA restart back, so.
Yeah, that's a... It's going to be a hard pull for me on a Saturday night considering the available options. Like, even tonight, you get to watch Chris Bubich. Like, there was a UFC fight tonight. Am I clicking over?
No,
I'm good. Like, I got other things to watch. And then eventually, I'm going to have Patrick Mahomes play football again. So,
can't wait for that day. Can't wait. Thursday, September 10th. Let's hope everything works and we get that game against the Texans and everything else works out just fine.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.